Well, good morning. There you go. It is good to be here. And I could be honest, we could just leave right now because the worship was phenomenal. The Spirit of the Lord was in this place. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And I'm honored that, Pastor Ward, you would allow Mount Vernon and myself to come and speak and share with you what's going on. They've done that. I'm going to share the good news of the gospel this morning. And this morning, I'm probably preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to you. And so I hope that somehow, in some way, through this message, you will begin to hear and see what God is doing in my life and begin to ask yourselves, is God beginning to do a new thing in your life also? This morning, my sermon title is called The Strength to Make Hard Decisions in Christ. And we all make decisions in our life, and we all have, some are easy and some are not, and some are difficult. But I want you to know, as the president of Mount Vernon Nazarene University, a Nazarene institution that is owned by the Church of the Nazarene, 503 on this region, I want you to know who I am and what I'm about. You're going to hear things, people say, well, he's this and he's that. But my only ask is that if you hear that, you come to me. Come and let's talk. Let's break bread. Let's have coffee. Let us walk through this. And the reason I say that is because I want you to know that I am resolved to do whatever is right, no matter what. And I will always seek to honor my call to Christ and his teachings with every fiber of my being. I have spent the majority of my career in higher education. Prior to higher education, I was a director of HR. And I remember when I went in, left that role as director of HR to go to Mount Vernon to work 27 years ago, when they called me and asked me to go into the admissions office and they told me the salary, I'll be honest with you, I said, no, I'm not interested. My pay went in half. But I can stand before you today and say that was the best decision that I ever did in my life. Because I was driving home. I was the director of HR for PetSmart in Gahanna, Ohio. And I lived in Mount Vernon, Ohio with now Dr. David Buck. But he was an employee at Mount Vernon then. And he was working in admissions. And he was getting ready to go to med school. And he had called me that day and he said, Carson, I really think you need to apply for my job as I'm leaving, going to med school. I think you should apply for my job. And I laughed. But as I was driving from Gahanna, Ohio, up the back roads to Mount Vernon, Ohio, I heard this still small voice say to me, get out of your own way. Don't worry about the money. Trust me. Your latter will always be greater than your former. And I drove and tears ran down my eyes because I knew that's what the Lord wanted me to do, to apply. And I applied and I was, be honest with you, in full disclosure, I was thinking, they're never going to hire me. I did not graduate from Mount Vernon. I am a Nazarene, but I didn't graduate from there. And they had never hired someone in admissions that did not work, that did not graduate. So I had a little bit of security in my life. I'm like, they're not going to hire me. And lo and behold, they hired me. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing to me? Friends, the strength to make hard decisions in Christ is probably one of the most difficult things that any of us will do. And as I read 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 this morning to you, I would be lying if this is not a reflection of where I stand today as president of Mount Vernon Nazarene University. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, and in hardships, in persecution, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You may be seated. Friends, I am so thankful that I can be here this morning to talk about this making hard decisions, but having strength. And we're going to explore this morning, and we're going to look at what I call staying the course. Stay in the course, the strength to make hard decisions in Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is filled with distractions. Then we are live in a world that everyone wants to take the easy way out. We're in a world that is filled with temptations and challenges. But I want you to know this morning that Christ is telling me, he's telling you, he is telling the world that we are called to make hard decisions that are rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. Life is often a journey, and along that journey, we are going to face crossroads where the choices we make will define our character, and it will strengthen or it will tear down our relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to know that every student at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, I will do everything in my fiber and my being and my last breath to point them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that they need to rest in him and make decisions through the lens of Jesus Christ. Number one, we as a people need to have a call to the commitment. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said this, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me." This verse is there to remind us that following Christ is not a one-time decision, but a daily commitment. Each day presents us with the choices that test our resolve and our commitment to the teachings of Jesus. Staying the course means embracing this commitment even when it requires sacrifice. This, my friends, is not an easy thing to do. It is very difficult, and it can come at a very heavy price. Some of you are reflecting on your own life, and you're thinking right now, oh, boy, I've been there. I've walked in those shoes. Number two is that we need to begin to think about the example of Jesus. I want you to consider just for a moment that those moments in Jesus' life when he was faced with hard decisions. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was wrestled with the weight of this, his impending crucifixion. In Matthew, he prayed, "My Father, if it possible, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not at all. But your will be done, Lord." Jesus exemplifies these acts by staying the course. He chose to be obedient over comfort. He demonstrating that true strength lies in submitting to God's will, even when it's difficult. Number three, the cost of discipleship. We as a people need to remember that there is a cost to discipleship. Staying the course requires us to understand the cost of discipleship. In Matthew 16:24-26, Jesus asks, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" I'm here to tell you, friends, the world offers many enticing paths. But we must evaluate our choices through the lens of eternity. Hard decisions often involve saying no to taking the easy way out, these fleeting pleasures that the world is telling us to get involved in, and saying yes to enduring truth of Jesus Christ. I remember as a small boy where this was modeled for me time after time at my home church, at Covington Central Church of the Nazarene. And I remember it so vividly about this, you know, role, this role of faith and community and this opportunity for us to be a people who God's called us to be, and that we do what he's called us to do no matter how hard it is. And the one that sticks to my mind is my grandfather. His name was Gerald McCauley. He was one of the greatest laymen in the Church of the Nazarene. And it was back in the old days where we had a church vote on building a building. And I'll never forget it. I was 7 years old, and I was probably a little nosy. But I sat next to Grandpa during this church meeting on a Sunday night. And they began to stand up, and they began to talk about building on to the church and not building on. And this, to give you my age, it was 1977, 78, somewhere in that range. And I sat on the pew next to Grandpa, and I saw Brother Phelps jump up and say what he thought about going for it or not going for it. And then Sister Wilkes did this. But it was all said and done that I heard my grandfather get up, and he began to talk about how he thought this was not the time to do it. Interest rates were over 18% at the time, and he did not think it was a financial good decision. And he sat down. They finished up. They took the vote. And when the vote came out, the vote was yes, we're going to do this. At that moment is where I saw the hard decision and leaning into Christ modeled for me. For I watched my grandpa pull out his checkbook. And in 1977, he wrote a $1,000 check. And he stood up from his chair and he walked to the altar and he laid it down. On the way home that night, I said, Grandpa, I know I shouldn't have looked at you writing that check, but I did. And he said, Carson, I expect nothing less of you. I said, Grandpa, I don't understand. I don't understand why you got up and you spoke passionately about why we shouldn't do this. I said, but Grandpa, when the vote was taken, I saw you write a check for $1,000. And I'll never forget his words. In his sweet, gentle voice, he looked at me. And he said, Carson, I hope you remember this for all of your life. It is not about me. It is not about you. It is about the kingdom of God. And when God's people speak, we listen. We don't argue. We don't fight. We embrace. We join together. We march forward. We are in unity. And I can tell you from that day forward, I've never had an issue speaking what I felt would need to be done. But I can tell you, I have always looked through the lens of what Christ has called me to do, to be a unifier and to be a person that makes decisions predicated on him and what's best for the greater good. Because it was modeled to me by Gerald McCauley. Number four, the role of a faith community. We are not called to navigate these decisions alone. Hebrews 10:24 says, and it encourages us to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Our faith community provides support, wisdom, and encouragement as we face life's challenges. Together we can pray, seek counsel, and hold one another accountable, reminding each other of the importance of staying true to our commitment to Christ. Number five, that we need to be a people that trust God's plan. When making hard decisions, we must trust in the plan, in God's plan for our lives. I'm reminded of Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord will guide you continually, and he will satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. As I read that, as I prepared for this, it hit me. He told us there's going to be problems. Read the word, satisfy your desire in scorched places. But he's telling us he'll make our bones strong. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you might be dealing with things like you say, you have no idea the scorched places I'm living or have been. But I've got good news for you today, friends. I've got good news for me today. That he's going to make our bones strong. And we shall be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water whose waters will never fail. We are called to trust God. At the core of following God's plan, it is the call to trust. Trusting God means surrendering our own agenda and embracing his perfect will. It means giving up control and believing that his plans are far greater than anything that we could ever imagine. This trust requires us to have faith in God's goodness, his wisdom, his love, even when circumstances are uncertain and challenging. When we trust in God, we can move forward with confidence, knowing that he is leading us every step of the way. As I wrote this, it hit me again, taking me back to April of 2023, when I first got a note from the headhunter saying, hey, we'd like to talk to you about the presidency at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. And I immediately said, thank you, but no thank you. I had a great job. I loved my job. We had a great church. I loved my church. My wife had a great career as a principal in the public schools in Kentucky. My kids were thriving. We loved our home. We loved everything. I said, appreciate you, but I'm not interested. I went to Angela and I said, Ange, this is what it is. And immediately she's like, I'm not moving to Mount Vernon. She's like, Carson, I have two Chick-fil-A's, a Target, everything I need within 4 miles of my house, and you want me to move to Mount? I said, I didn't want you to move anywhere. I'm coming to you telling you that I don't want to go either. But I just want you to know in case you hear that someone called me about it. She's like, well, we're not going, right? I said, we're not going. And we kept moving on. A month later, middle of the 1st of May, this guy calls me back and he says, Dr. Castleman, I know we've talked, you said you weren't interested, but I'm calling back because I'd really like you to think about it. I hear you're a churchman. I hear you love the church. I'm like, this man's giving me Nazarene guilt. It is like my mother passed away in 2015 and this is 2023 and I'm like, I'm hearing the voices of my mother through this man. And I said to him, I said, I am so honored that you called me and I love the church and I am a churchman. I love the church with every fiber of my being, but I'm not interested. He said, okay. He said, thanks. I called Angela and I said, he called me again. She's like, and you said no, right? I said no. <laughs> 22 days later, he calls again. I'm like, this man is like the gift that keeps on giving. He said, Dr. Castleman, I just got a question for you. He said, everybody I talk to says you're a churchman. You love. I'm like, I've heard this. You love the church. You love this, you love Mount Vernon. You love higher education. You're innovative. You've been doing great things at the institution. When Dave wouldn't even say the name, I felt guilty, but I said it. But that's where I work. So, but anyway, I work there. And he said, you've done great things there. You started an international program. You brought in 3,600 students in over a year and a half. You're making a difference in the kingdom. Don't you? He said, so do you think that maybe you might want to talk to us here at Mount Vernon? Because we sent out a survey and we asked people to nominate. And he said, the nominations came back and you received over half the nominations. He said, you don't think you could give us 10 minutes of your time? And I kept seeing this little 5'2" redhead look at me going, I'm going to kill you. And I said to him, I said, you know what? It's the end of May of 2023. I said, you know what? We're getting ready to, after the holidays, we're going to start in, after the holiday here in May, we're going to start into General Assembly with the Church of the Nazarene. I said, we're going to go for a few days. I said, you know what? I'm going to pray about this. And Angela, we'll get Angela to pray, and we'll let you know by the after General Assembly. Angela and I go to General Assembly, and we are loving seeing our Nazarene friends and having a great time. And Sunday morning, we walk into that big arena with 10,000 Nazarenes. And David Graves, one of my favorite people in all the world, gets up to preach a sermon. And he preaches this sermon, and he talks about trusting God and how God loves us more than we could ever imagine. And he puts up on the screen this huge dump truck. And he says, this is what you think God loves you and his plans for you and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's huge. That's a big old one. And then all he says, but that's not it, friends. And he pushes his button, and this earth mover shows up. And I don't know if you know what an earth mover is, but it's two times of a dump truck. He said, this is exactly what God's got for you, but many of you are hanging on to this. And I'm not exaggerating. With 6 seconds, this little 5'2" redhead hits me, and she said, this sermon's for you. I was shocked. I was so taken back. I said, what are you talking about? She said, we'll talk about it on the way back. And I'm thinking, what have I done? So her and I are walking back to the hotel because she had to go back. It was Sunday, and she had to go back to Northern Kentucky because even principals work in the summer. So she had to be there the next morning. And we're walking back, and we walk out, and I said, what was that hit that this sermon's for me? She's like, Carson, he's talking about you're holding on to this, your job here, and God's got Mount Vernon for you. And all of a sudden, she's like, and you're not listening. I said, we were in one accord. I'm like, where is this coming from? The longer we walked, the more baffled I was. And we got to the hotel, and she looked at me, and she said, we've got to trust God on this. She said, our only requirement is to be obedient. She goes, call that man and tell him you'll talk to him. She said, our job is obedience. Our job is to do what we know is right and let God work it out. She said, if they don't take it, if they don't want you, praise be to God, we're staying. I got my Targets and my Chick-fil-A's. She said, if they do want you, somehow we'll figure it out. I said, okay. And when I said, okay, she looked at me. She said, I'm serious. She said, don't come home until you call that man or email him. I said, all right. She left. We did the next thing the next day. I was in Indianapolis the whole day. I drove back to Northern Kentucky, not even a two-hour drive, 7 o'clock at night. I pull in the garage. I go upstairs. I walk in. She's in the recliner. I say, hey, how you doing? She looks at me, she goes, did you call that guy? Or email him? I said, well, no, I didn't. And I knew I was in trouble. She got out of that chair. And she wheeled over to me, and she got inches from my face. And she said, Carson Dudley Castleman, if you want to be out of God's will, that's one thing. But don't put me and my children in that. She said, you've got to trust him. I said, yes, ma'am. I sat down and I emailed. And I'm here today, not because I wanted to, because I believe this is what God has called us to do. And I'm trusting him with this plan. And I'm going to overcome the fear and the indecisions that has gripped me at times. And friends, fear and indecision grips us all. It holds us back from fully embracing God's plan for our lives. We worry that if we take this action or don't do this, or we're going to make a mistake, or we choose the wrong path. But I can tell you, over the last 14 months, I've realized, and I am remembering, that it is important to remember that God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for a willing heart. When we trust him, we can step out in faith, knowing that even when we stumble, he will guide us. And he will bring good out of every situation. Letting go of fear and embracing trust is the key to overcoming indecision and for us to begin to live a purposeful life. There is a power in obedience. Obedience is an essential aspect of following God's plan. My obedience had a 5'2" redhead that really got to me. But it requires us to align our actions with his teachings, his commands. Obedience is not just merely setting to a set of rules to follow, but it's a response to God's unfailing love and grace in our lives. When we choose obedience, we demonstrate our trust in God. We demonstrate our trust in God's wisdom and his authority. Obedience opens the doors to blessings, growth, and deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father. That, my friends, is so true, and I am a living testament of it. 14 months later, I have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ than ever before. I trust him implicitly. I love him with every fiber of my being. And in conclusion, as we conclude, I ask us to reflect on our own lives. Are there areas in your life and in my life that we're called to make hard decisions that align with our faith in Jesus Christ? Are we willing to deny ourselves and take up the cross? Staying the course is not always easy, but it is a path filled with purpose and peace. And friends, I'm telling us, let us commit ourselves to the following of Jesus wholeheartedly, knowing that he walks with us every step of the way. The key here, friends, is to understand that sitting on the fence is not what he's called you to do. He's called us to be fully following him at all cost. Here's your call to action, church. I encourage each and every one of you to pray for strength, to make hard decisions, and to seek God's guidance, and to rely on the support of this community as you walk through this thing that we call life. May we all find courage to stay the course, remain true to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and never forget that he is with us to the ends of the earth. No matter what happens, he is the greatest overcomer of all. And whatever he has called you to do, he will help you be faithful, and he will do it again and again and again. May the love of Jesus Christ fill your heart today.